This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
So let's go out to the Window Nation fan guest hotline. Jonas Schaefer covers the Ravens for the Baltimore Banner. He joins us now. And Jonas, thank you as always for your time. John and EDC speak tomorrow at the Combine. What do you expect to hear from them tomorrow?
Oh, man. I hope that there are as few Steelers reporters hovering around as possible, because last time out there, I think last year or 2 years ago, we got a question about Jeremiah Moon among the first three questions that was asked of John Harbaugh. So there are a lot more pressing issues to attend to in Indy. I imagine the first question will be about Justin Tucker. I don't think we'll get much resolution. I imagine maybe the second or third question might also be about Justin Tucker. Again, I don't think we'll hear a whole lot. But, you know, I want to know about Ronnie Stanley. I want to know about plans for Derrick Henry. I want to know how they feel about the salary cap jump. You know, it's helpful that we're getting both Eric DaCosta and John Harbaugh out there just to, you know, give us to maximize the window of time that we have out there with them and hopefully get as much resolution as possible. But, you know, they're both pretty calculated guys. I'm sure they're going to go in there with a lot of PR coaching. So we're going to be talking about what they say, regardless of whether it's to our liking or not. But I do think this is probably the most interesting, you know, Indianapolis availability, maybe since the Lamar, you know, holdout, I guess, basically.
I'm also kind of interested in sort of their organizational philosophies, where they generally have not been willing to double down on guys at certain positions. And while they've been a very good team for a long time, they have yet to really reach the levels of greatness. I mean, it's not like they're going to the championship games with regularity. We know it's been a minute since they went to a Super Bowl. Like, Queen's gone because they didn't want to pay two linebackers, right? Like, now we're at this fork in the road where Likely's eligible for a deal, and Andrews is yet to show up in a playoff game. Like, we've got Jones, who's an ascending player but hasn't made the leap, but maybe he does make the leap, but they've already paid Matabike. We thought they'd be at this fork in the road with Marlon and Brandon Stevens, but Brandon Stevens fell off a cliff and kind of, you know, resolved that. But, like, they got to pay Kyle Hamilton, and maybe they need a free safety also. Are you intrigued by that, and if they're willing to alter their sort of team-building philosophies to maybe indulge in something like this a little more?
Yeah, I guess just a byproduct of them having as many draft picks as they have had over the years and will, you know, continue to look for over the next couple of years, is that you give yourself these outs where you don't necessarily need to double dip in free agency or on that second contract on those guys. I mean, obviously, to your point, Jason, you know, this would have been a really interesting situation with Brandon Stevens had he hit, but I think even if he had in year four, they probably would have let him go.
Yep.
And said, you know, we'll take that third or fourth round comp pick and thank you for your services. I do think the Travis Jones situation is interesting, because that is, you know, a deal that they could make where it takes a while for these defensive linemen to really become the full you know, reached the logical endpoint of their development. I mean, you see, it took a while for all the draft picks that Washington made along their defensive line to really turn into to ass kickers. And I think it was year three or year four. So if you're counting on Travis Jones getting there, then maybe investing in them early might be the smart thing to do. But then again, you already have a Matty BK, and he's been very, very durable and good against the run and pass. So it's definitely an interesting question. I think that with Lamar being as expensive as he is right now and only getting more expensive, you probably want to take the safe approach unless you're sure that you're getting someone who's going to be provide surplus value on that contract. You want to have as many bases covered as possible. And to your point, just about just double dipping in general, I think that's probably a strategy where you maybe look to do that in the draft. You know, like we obviously saw Philly last year, didn't feel great about their secondary besides Darius Slay. So they took their first round pick and get Quinyon Mitchell. And then they move up, you know, which is a little bit of a shocker for Howie Roseman, move up in that second round and get a first round talent in Cooper DeJean. And it completely helps turn around that defense with obviously the caveat being Vic Fangio playing a big, big part in that. So I don't think it's going to be likely in free agency. It's probably a little bit more likely in terms of just their own in-house retention. But I guess it's probably most likely in just their draft strategy, especially considering all the picks that they're going to have in April.
Then there's the Mark Andrews of it all, Jonas, where I don't expect them to come out and say we're trading him or any of that this week at the Combine. But the date is looming where he's due that $4 million roster bonus within the first week of the league year. Now that we're further removed from that playoff game, what is your lean on what happens with Mark Andrews?
You know, I think that they're always going to be open to offers. They're, you know, the phone lines will be open. I just think that unless they can get like a, you know, late day two, maybe early day three pick, it would be tough to part with him at this point. I still am a believer in what he offers at this point. Just that the biggest issue is you have so much other talent at that on that roster that you just worry, are you getting enough bang for your buck? And I think he finished like number one in DVOA among slot players, and what would the best paid receiver, the best paid slot receiver get if he were to hit free agency would probably be, you know, over $20-25 million a year. You know, I think that the tight end of the fact that he's a tight end probably, you know, hurts his value. Certainly the playoff failures have hurt his standing among Ravens fans, but he's a man coverage beater. You know, I think he's improved his blocking, even though he's not going to be your Nick Boyle, your Charlie Kohler out there. I think he's been there in high leverage spots in the regular season, even if the postseason has been a different matter. And then there's just the fact that, like, he is a team leader. He is a guy who Lamar goes to in the clutch. And he is the kind of tone setter that you want in your building, in your locker room, you know, being a shepherd to your younger guys. I don't know if Isaiah Likely would be where he is entering year four, if not for the presence of a Mark Andrews. But again, you know, you have to be ruthless about this kind of thing. And if the Ravens feel like they've gotten the best out of him and they can, you know, make a sucker out of someone by trading Mark Andrews for a third round pick or an early fourth round pick, then Eric DaCosta is going to have to pull that lever.
Have we reached, and I'm glad that he's cashing out with a commercial if this is in fact the end. Josh Johnson, have we navigated that razor's edge long enough, and is it time to have somebody who could maybe hold it down for 4 or 6 weeks if need be, somebody a little more proven at that, at least proven recently at that, in that position?
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine that with someone of his standing, he would not be a first or second wave free agent because, at this point, he is a guy who has been around the league long enough that that notoriety he has as a bit of an itinerant NFL quarterback is now getting him commercials, which go get those checks, Josh. I'm all in favor.
Sure.
But Devin Leary, based on what we saw in his rookie year, based on the fact that he is older for a rookie year quarterback, I am not optimistic about him being the guy to replace Josh Johnson. I think he was like the lowest graded quarterback on PFF in the preseason among quarterbacks with like 30 plus dropbacks, which is not a great place to be considering just all the retreads and guys who will never amount to anything in the preseason. Maybe we'll get there. Maybe a year in the Munkin system will do wonders for him, kind of like it did wonders for Lamar. But I do think you need at some point, you know, early-ish in day three, a dart throw on a young rookie quarter on a young draft pick quarterback, because I just don't think you have the space in your books for, you know, $5 to $10 million a year to pay, you know, any kind of competent backup quarterback. I mean, I know I don't want to say that the Ravens should completely emulate the Eagles and all their team building processes, but I think what Philly has done with, you know, spending a second round pick on Jalen Hurts and having him turn into a Super Bowl winner, having them invest in Tanner McKee, and maybe now he is a very cost effective, you know, quarterback two option for a guy who's a sixth round pick. I think that is the kind of right model to take here. And I'm not saying the Ravens should take a second round pick on, you know, Tyler Shook or anything like that, but I do think that you can't afford to just get a guy who is on the verge of being an undrafted player in that seventh round just because you have a draft pick and you feel like you've addressed all your needs. I do think that there needs to be an insurance policy for Lamar, because we are not all that far removed from him being a bit of an injury question. And he's still a 205-pound quarterback in the NFL, which is guys like that don't tend to last super, super long.
Jonas will be broadcasting from the Xfinity Center Wednesday. You'll unfortunately be in Indianapolis, but are you starting to dream a little big about this Terps team?
Willard moving up your power rankings of Terps coaches?
I might be there, guys, on Wednesday night. I'm still trying to figure things
out. Oh, really?
But yeah. I don't want to give it away yet. But yeah, I mean, I'm definitely spending a lot more time looking at KenPom. I'm definitely spending a lot more time looking at bracketology. I'm definitely spending, you know, more time wondering, you know, what Maryland can do to avoid Denver because of the altitude and kind of team that with that limited depth to really survive.
That's a good point.
With the air is that tough to breathe up there. So I'm pretty bought in right now, but I'm also aware that I can't remember how many years ago, Ken, maybe you can remind me, but that there was that Turgeon team that had game day in College Park against Michigan State.
Yeah, it was 2020. Cowans last year.
Just completely laid an absolute stinker, and it felt like that season was never the same after that game, even though I guess it ended before COVID kind of wrapped things up. But you just can't let Michigan State come into College Park and be the kind of team that, you know, bends officials to their will. You know, I still think a lot of Maryland fans hold a grudge against Izzo for maybe twist officiating
blue blood
against Mellor Trimble during his heyday. So I think that there will be a lot of ill will among Maryland fans for Izzo if Michigan State comes in and they get a Sparty happy whistle.
Jonas, as an extended member of the Wyman family, I am here to extend to you
the
usage of the Wyman Industries corporate plane. If you need to shuttle back and forth from Indianapolis, Dennis, I don't believe, is using it the next 3 days.
He's actually heading to Sarasota.
No, he's not anymore.
Yeah.
No, he's going to. Jonas is an IA Hall of Famer.
Yes, he is.
Jonas, they can shuttle you back and just text Gigi. They can make things happen.
I'll make a call.
In the world of transportation.
It's actually going to be Gianna and Kyle who are heading to Indy. I'm going to be working from home. So,
How about the helicopter? Easier, would you like the use of the helicopter?
Take him to the chopper?
I would love that. As someone who saw every episode of Succession, I would love to live that in that lap of luxury.
Yeah.
It can happen.
It's
closer than you think.
Yeah. No, I'll place a call if I can get Dennis on the phone. Jonas, you're the best, man.
Thank you
as always for your time.
Maybe we'll see you.
Maybe we'll see you Wednesday.
Absolutely.
We'll be in the Maryland Club.
We'll get you in.
Yeah. Three times.
Yeah.
And ask for Gigi.
Hey, coming up next. We gave a bone work assignment. He had to watch The Natural. We'll get his review, and then we have to figure out what's next for T-Bone. We'll figure it out. It's bone work next here on.
Take me out to the ball game. What are you doing? Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Rhys Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm a fan. Another edition of Bone Work. And before we get to what's next, let's look back. And you were assigned a film, were you not, Bone? You were assigned The Natural.
The Natural. And full disclosure, most sports movies are very cheesy and stink. And there was definitely a level of cheesiness and stinkiness to this movie
disagree.
As well.
No.
But overall.
A little hokey.
Oh.
I love The Natural.
It's a little hokey.
That's great.
I will say this. When I was watching it, and what was it, in the first 5-10 minutes of the film, where the woman shot Hobbs,
yeah.
I was like stunned.
By the way, spoiler alert.
The movie came out in 81 or whatever, 84.
You just ruined it for some people.
Whatever. It's been 40 years at this point. When that happened, I was like, wait, what? Like, that was the last thing I thought was going to happen in that movie. But also, Robert Duvall, the consigliere.
Yes, and yes.
He was the reporter. Godfather.
Yes,
he was the reporter. Yes. Right when I saw his
Bone,
the
he's going to turn up. He's going to turn up in a lot of movies. Yes. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Is he in a lot?
He was like,
he's a big deal. Yes.
He's also, had a long career. Yeah, yeah. Like,
also very alive.
Yes.
Yeah. He's 91.
He's still
92.
Doing, yeah,
I looked it
yeah,
up.
Yeah.
He's very old.
Very
still
good.
Alive.
Very good.
Where do you see Apocalypse Now?
Right when he appeared, I was like, it's a Godfather. It's a good thing. It's my guy.
Do you like the Whammer?
The Whammer. Okay.
It's supposed to be Babe Ruth.
But here's my. He's using a bat he made as a kid, as a grown adult.
Yes.
In the like
that's awesome. The tree was struck by lightning.
And then they're making a big deal. Oh, it's Wonder Boy. It's regulation.
Wonder Boy.
Those New York Knights when he hits the lamp blows the light tower. Yeah.
And then when he cracks the bat, and then Homer's there. Okay, who couldn't see that coming? Oh. But
in the book, he strikes out just to
really.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Should read Malamud's book.
Yeah.
I didn't even know it was a book.
You see what Hollywood does.
Yeah.
And him struggling after he got in the relationship, had to work his way through that, and then
for me, it's the best baseball movie ever made.
It's not the best baseball movie ever made.
It's in my opinion. That's why they make opinions.
Probably not even in the top five
for Jason.
Bull Durham.
I like Bull Durham a lot.
Bull Durham.
Eight Men Out.
Eight Men Out.
Better.
No.
Field of Dreams is better hokey movie. If you're looking for a hokey baseball movie, Field of Dreams is better. Well, like Ken Burns baseball documentary better. That's four off the top of my head.
I'm not talking documentaries. We're talking movies.
It's a documentary.
We're talking movies. It's a documentary. It's not a movie. It's a documentary. No, I don't know. Documentaries are separate.
It's not major league.
It's way better than
he's not going to sit through the Ken Burns documentary.
Major League might be better. Okay. Probably
that
better.
A ringing endorsement.
Probably better. No, than
it was. It was a good movie, though. It was a fun movie.
It is my favorite baseball movie.
Every single sports movie is hokey. It's just how hokey is it? Where this one had its aspects, but it was good. I love Rudy.
Oh, they did come out first.
And Rudy was
Some would say Rudy is the natural of football films. Well,
and also, Rudy is based on a true story.
Rudiger.
Yeah. So that actually,
I just like saying Rudiger.
Yeah, it was good.
Have you seen Rudy, Bone?
You don't need to. Yeah.
It's very good. You should.
Yeah, I've seen like the clips. Of,
I would not take his advice on movies. Enough. He likes nothing.
Yeah. No, I like.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like a lot.
Yeah, now you don't. No, you really don't. Yeah, you don't really like
cheesy
a lot.
Corporate mainstream movies. Yeah, well, it's got to. Yeah, it's got to be. It's got to be top notch.
Where going back way back to the start of this show? Where did Hobbs finish in the?
He got knocked out early.
It wasn't far.
Yeah. He didn't get that far.
Because he's old, like the more recent guys did better.
We're probably overdue for a pandemic, Bone. Yeah. So you might want to get that Bone Simulator trying to find some of those old episodes. We might need to regurgitate some of that.
Yeah.
We got measles going around. We got
the flu like crazy.
Yeah.
Everyone's getting the flu.
Yeah. Maybe we need. Who won that thing?
It was
Rocky Balboa won it, right?
No, it was Rocky did not win.
Rocky didn't win.
It was. Remember.
It's been 5 years.
It has been 5 years.
It was.
How long did that last?
Oh man,
like it went on.
We did it for a few months.
We milked it.
It came down.
The Dolph Lundgren.
Was it Villains? Mama Boucher was.
Did she make it that far?
I think. And so did. So did Ivan Drago. I think it came. Like
I thought Rocky and Drago were both like semifinalists.
They may have been.
I think you're right.
I think they both were semifinalists.
Yeah.
I think we might have had Kyle Brandt on to handicap.
Yes, we did.
No, that definitely happened. Kyle Brandt
was definitely on during COVID.
Yeah. So right, we got a poll for this week.
This week, in our ongoing quest to make Tim Barbalace, a.k.a. Tebow, more well-rounded, we have another assignment for him in the next week. Which of the following should he accomplish in the next 7 days? Go to a speed dating event, early lead, a poll just went up, 44.4%. Take a pottery class, 25.9%. Crash a college lecture, 18.5%. Play in the college band, 9.4%. IA1057 The Fan is a info on this poll. It's live until tomorrow.
Go speed dating.
I voted speed dating.
He needs help there.
I voted speed dating. Hey, Terps are now 16th in the country. Poll came out about 1 o'clock this afternoon. Gene Wong covers the Terps for the Washington Post. We'll get his thoughts on Maryland basketball next here on The Fan. Maryland has not played since they beat USC on Thursday. They play Michigan State Wednesday. We'll be there broadcasting from the Xfinity Center. It's a 6:30 tip, which means pregame coverage starts at 5:30 here on The Fan. They're now 16th in the country. And with that, let's head out to the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline. Gene Wong covers the Terps for the Washington Post and joins us now. And Gene, thank you as always for your time. It feels like this team could be sitting on a 4 seed right now.
Yeah, certainly they're playing as well as anyone in the conference, maybe even the country. They've won 4 in a row. A huge one on Wednesday, as you guys mentioned, at home against Michigan State. They can beat Sparty. They certainly have a great shot at winning the Big Ten regular season, which is pretty incredible given how their season went last year. But certainly they are a team that I don't think anyone wants to play right now with the way they can beat you in so many different ways, as we've talked about before on the program.
And Gene, with them being able to hang 90 on a lot of the middling to lesser teams in the Big Ten, we've kind of like our pet theory is they get a little bored at times, or they get too cute. You know what I mean? It's like, let's try this alley-oop. Let's try, you know what I mean? Let's try this crazy pass.
We'll
like
just shoot deep threes.
Right, and so then, you let them back in it. I almost feel like at times they got to let them back in it to then kind of motivate themselves again, because their starting five is playing so much, and they're so much better than other team starters, let alone when they get into their rotations, that, okay, it some bad habits creep in, but Willard's been able to refocus them pretty quickly in some of these timeouts and get them committed to defense again. I tend to think we won't see that nonchalance at times because it is Sparty and because there's so much at stake. Are you with me there, or are you concerned at all that these bad habits might die hard?
No, I think, you know, they learned their lesson against Ohio State, which was the last time I was on the air with you, and I was touting how great Maryland was, and they blew an 11-point lead in the second half. But since then, that was an eye-opener for them. They're not going to allow that kind of thing to happen again, certainly not at home. And I'm not saying they're going to be up on Michigan State by, you know, double figures.
Right.
I expect it to be a tight game either way. But that game like that's going to catch your attention. Obviously, that's going to get all the attention. The games that I look at are when they go on the road against Penn State. That can, that spells let down because they have Michigan after that, you know, another team above them in the Big Ten. Maryland has not played great on the road.
Nope.
They have a game on Wednesday first, but that Penn State game is one that you could circle and say, well, if they want to finish in the top four or maybe contend for the number one spot in the Big Ten regular season, that's the game they need to win. They don't necessarily, you know, you're going to get all their attention for Wednesday. The game that a team that's 4-12 in the conference, maybe, would just show up and beat them. That's not the case.
Gene, that's exactly where I was going to go. We've talked for weeks now in terms of getting that double bye. We're right now Maryland's third, but can you dream big? Could you see this team winning a share of the Big Ten, considering you still play Michigan State, you still play Michigan, and Michigan State and Michigan play each other to end the regular season?
I was just going to go there, too. Absolutely. Maryland, if they can beat both those teams, I mean, so they have to win one on the road, and we saw what Michigan State did to Michigan on the road, right? So doable. Michigan State at home, certainly doable. And then you see what shakes down between Sparty and the Wolverines. But, yeah, I guarantee you Kevin World's saying, you know, we have a shot at winning the Big Ten regular season title. Who wants to go after it? Who wants to chase it? And it starts, we can't do it unless we win the first one of these next four games, and that's Michigan State on Wednesday. I expect Maryland to come out, obviously, very, very fired up. But, you know, this is Tom Izzo's time. This is such a great coach. And their team is kind of gelling, too. So it really should be a heavyweight battle.
We're talking with Gene Wong. It's Inside Access here on The Fan. Just to take a half step back, like the chance of being a top four seed in the Big Ten tournament and getting that double bye. They hold a tiebreaker over Wisconsin. They hold a tiebreaker over UCLA. So they seem to be, at least as we sit right now, in really good shape.
No, they're in great shape. The only one they lose is Purdue, and boy, something's going on there in West Lafayette.
Yeah.
They've lost four in a row. You don't see that from a Matt Painter coach team very often. They're usually so fundamentally sound. They were up a dozen points against Indiana. I know it was on the road. Assembly Hall is a tough place to play, but that usually does not happen with a Matt Painter team, especially how much he focuses on defense. But yeah, the tiebreakers are all in their favor. Even the teams that have an outside chance, like Illinois, they win the tiebreaker over them. So they're sitting in a great, great spot. They have a little room for error to still be in the top four. But if they win the games they're supposed to, which you would say are on the road against Penn State, then the final at home against Northwestern, two of the three worst teams conference in the record, based on their record in conference, then, they still should be fine as a top four seed. And the double bye in the Big Ten tournament is so important because we know how physical the Big Ten is, and just getting those a couple extra days of rest and recuperation is going to make a big difference.
Where are we on the bench? We've seen them dominate teams and get 0 points from the bench. Is it just about quality bench minutes, which would be, you know, Young or DHS manning the point without a bunch of turnovers? Geronimo blocking some shots, getting some rebounds, playing above the rim. Gapari maybe with an explosive dunk that makes people go nuts. Is that kind of where we are?
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that, because after the last game at the news conference, Kevin Willard was asked any concerns about the bench. You know, the starters obviously are great. They play a lot of minutes, score a lot of points, but you're not really getting a lot of scoring from the bench. And as Kevin Willard has wanted to do at times, just answered no and moved on to the next question. I think what the bench is for Maryland is you're not going to show up in the scoring column. And that's not necessarily what they want. They want energy off the bench. So that's what DHS gives them. That's what Jordan Geronimo certainly gives them. I mean, he has dunks and blocks in spurts that you want to give Juju Reese a rest. You want to give Derek Queen a rest. And same with Campari. I mean, he can hit a three. He can drive by you and dunk on your head. He's very athletic. He's been sick. So now he's, you know, he had that flu bug that had been going around. Now he's just kind of getting over it. So he should be at full health. Jae Young is getting him great minutes, you know, while Jacoby Gillespie either is resting or sometimes has been in foul trouble. So Kevin Will is not asking for scoring off the bench. He's asking for some of those hints and sticks, like, you know, 50-50 balls and blocks and, you know, maybe tapping a ball out to keep the possession alive. That's what he wants from his bench, and that's exactly the contribution that they've been providing.
Does the lack of scoring from the bench give you pause for this team in March, though? If Julian Reese, hypothetically, in game one, game two of the tournament, gets in foul trouble, Queen, etc.
Right. Yeah, you know, I think as you get closer to March, your rotations tighten, and you're not going to be playing nine guys. You're going to be playing, you know, your five best guys, which are the five starters, obviously. And Jordan Geronimo is going to play because he gives him that physical presence if Juju or Derek Queen are in foul trouble early or need a blow. And then same with Gapare. And I don't think the scoring is, to me, an issue because – look where they have been without really a lot of bench points this season. They've done fine, and if one or two of those starters are not hitting, they're going to find ways to get it done with the other guys. Look at Juju and Derek Queen the last three games. Both guys have had double-doubles three games in a row. So that's what we've talked about before. They can beat you in just so many different ways.
Gene, one last thing before we let you go. They got Michigan State on Wednesday, but then this weekend they go to Penn State. That place has been a house of horrors for Maryland basketball. They're awful, but they've been bad before, and they've gone there and lost. Any concern about going up to State College?
Yes, tremendous. And we talked about it earlier. Could be one of those donut games, a letdown game, especially if you, let's just say they beat Michigan State. You know that they're going to be riding a wave, and you may lose a little interest and say, oh, now we have to play Penn State. Then we have Michigan after that at Chrysler Center, you know, another team that's above us. So that's more of it's about where you are mentally. They have much more talent than Penn State. We know that. Just Derek Queen alone with four other dudes could probably win that game. But just where are they going to be in their thought process going into that game? And Kevin Willard, he's not going to allow them to think, oh, we can just show up and beat Penn State. And I'm sure he's going to point to some, you know, past missteps at Bryce Jordan, as you mentioned. So regardless of what happens Wednesday, that game to me is almost as important, at least for their getting a top four seed in the Big Ten tournament.
Terps and Michigan State this Wednesday. It's a 6:30 tip. You can hear right here on 105.7 The Fan. Gene Wong covers the Terps for the Washington Post. Gene, great as always.
Thank you
for your time.
Yeah, see you guys there Wednesday, okay?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Come on by.
Thank you.
Okay, will do.
Coming up next, all the young dudes. And are the Orioles relying on too many young dudes? Freddie Gonzalez, former Oriole coach, joined us on Friday. He had some thoughts. You'll hear him next here on The Fan.
I was surprised. I am surprised because that's one of the things that I spoke to Hyder at the end was like, man, we needed a big presence offensively that somebody's going to say, hey, this is not, hey boys, this is not the way we get out of slumps. It's keep swinging. You know what I mean? And I was surprised because that's a conversation I had with Brandon. And again, I don't know who was out there available for them to get. I have no idea. And I think it's time. I think it's also time for some of these guys to step up a little bit.
So that was Freddie Gonzalez, former Orioles coach, joined us on the show on Friday, and he told us he was surprised he didn't have any veteran influence in that clubhouse this offseason to replace Anthony Santander. But he also said some of these young guys aren't so young anymore. It's time for them to step up as well.
Well, yeah, they're all going to end up being a year older than they were at opening day last year, but the core around them is lesser. I mean, Tony Taters had become, like, is he the quintessential leader? No. Was he their leader? Yeah. I mean, Mike Elias called him his hero.
Yeah.
Then he tried to throw him a BS three-year contract when the guy's market was soft, and he ended up going to Toronto anyway. But that's a legit thump from both sides of the plate, and a guy who hit the post every day, and it didn't matter if it was a lefty or a righty on the mound. He's batting somewhere in the top four or five of your lineup, and he's gone. And they're replacing him with more kids and more platoons. And will some of those kids rise to the occasion? Sure. But a lot of them didn't last year, and it was painfully obvious to us And we now know, painfully obvious to Brandon Hyde and Freddie Gonzalez, that the group was not good enough mentally last year. The group was not good enough from an approach standpoint last year. There was no bad cop in that locker room. There was no one to crack heads. And my God, did they need to have a head cracker in July and August and September as this thing festered and as the face of this whole rebuild, Adley Rutschman, hit new lows. And as guys went in prolonged slumps and everybody tried to hit five-run home runs, there was nobody to recalibrate them. And we could see it, and the coaches could see it, but the only people who truly matter, the triumvirate of calculator worshipers over there, they couldn't see it.
We were begging for the Orioles to go get a veteran bat at the deadline, and we love the idea of, speaking of head thumping, Tommy Pham. Well, we asked Freddie Gonzalez, what about Tommy Pham?
I was politicking to get Pham myself.
Wow.
You know, I'm like, oh man, hopefully, you know, nobody asked me or any kind of question, but just talking amongst his coaches and talking with Brandon, it's like, man, I would love to get Tommy Pham in here. You know, first of all, this guy is going to, he's going to command respect just by walking in the room. He's been there. He's done that. There's no BS to him, mm-hmm. You know, and I would have loved to have that a guy like that in the last 2 months and going into the postseason last year. We didn't get him, but I think he would have helped. But I was right there with you guys. You know, I was right there with you guys. I was hoping every day when I walked into the door, I was like, okay, did we get Tommy today?
A veteran guy who'd been there before, who won't take BS, something we were begging for down the stretch last year.
It's not even a victory lap for me. It's a kick in the chest because it's like, yeah, of course, I'm not stupid. I know what I'm watching. And of course, the baseball people in that dugout knew what they were watching, but they couldn't convince the people who pull the strings that this stuff mattered. So instead, we got Fat Eloy and we got Austin Slater. And we got a whole bunch of fringe stuff, and they got nothing to address some of their critical issues. And their response to that this offseason is to bring in a backup catcher who does not speak much English and a broken-down Tyler O'Neill, who you'll be lucky to get 100 games out of no matter what, and you really just want to rake against lefties. So, I mean, he's not going to be playing every day, and he hasn't really accomplished a whole lot in his career. So what's, especially in the playoffs, so like, what's he really going to bring to this mix in terms of regulating a locker room that can turn into a romper room? I got news for you. They've done nothing to address that.
And that's where, whatever you feel with Tommy Pham, and clearly he's a 180 compared to the rest of the clubhouse in terms of personality, Freddie Gonzalez doubling, tripling down in that interview with us last week, saying they lacked veteran leadership in that clubhouse. They lacked it, and there were plenty of guys going through their struggles where having that type of guy around would have helped them in those situations and kept guys accountable and given them some tips and tricks of the trade, you know, getting through those prolonged slumps.
Changing your walk-up music's probably not going to fix the problem. It's probably bagpipes. More in the batter's box and between your ears.
Doesn't walk-up music don't change? What about dressing up like...
Didn't work too well.
What about dressing up like
fairies? Did not work too well for them.
Yeah.
Not sure it would work for anybody in the big leagues.
Yeah. It was fun pictures, though.
It would have been great in Norfolk.
Yeah.
You know, if they wanted to all put on costumes after they won the AAA World Series, I'm here for it. Cosplay your asses off. But going up to the Bronx might not be the move.
Cosplay your asses off.
I like that. That's a bumper sticker. Hey, coming up next, we're going to talk Orioles, Ravens, Terps. Our buddy Cordell Woodland joins us next here on The Fan.